This morning we're going to start with reading Psalm 69. And my title is 40. And the reason why I did this talk today, we were having class Friday night, and 40 kept coming up, and not before class, but even the week before, 40 kept coming up, and then 40 came up in our class. So I thought it would be interesting to look into it and see what 40 really represents and what it means. Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where thou hast no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without cause and more than the hairs of mine head, they that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord, God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because of thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to me to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was a song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayers is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God. In the multitude of thy mercy, hear me, and the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of thy mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I have found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and let that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened, that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thy indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom they have smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise thy name. I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of the servant shall inherit inherit it, and that they love his name and shall dwell therein. The number 40 represents a period of testing or probation. In the New Testament, Jesus was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. Let's turn to Matthew 4. Matthew 4, verses 1 and 2. Then was Jesus led up the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. The temptation of Christ highlights numerous parallels between Jesus and Old Testament Israel. Let's turn to Deuteronomy for a second. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8, we'll start with verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. The raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep thy commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. This says that the Lord led Israel into the wilderness to be tested for 40 years. Also, Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tested for 40 days. The three temptations Jesus faced parallel the test Israel faced in the wilderness, and every scripture that Jesus quoted in response to his temptations were drawn from God's message to the Israelites about the wilderness test. Israel failed its test, but Jesus passed his, and in doing so, fulfilled all righteousness. The fact that Jesus hungered shows that he was truly human as well as divine. Let's turn to Acts. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, before seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. There were 40 days before Jesus' resurrection and ascension. Before his ascension, Jesus suffered the agony of death and then showed himself alive to his disciples. The proofs included appearing to the disciples during the 40 days between his resurrection and ascension. During this time, Jesus instructed them about the kingdom of God. The number 40 also appears when Elijah fled from Jezebel. He traveled 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb. Let's turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings 19, we'll start with verse 1. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered the sackcloth to Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amaz. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear... Whoops. That didn't sound right. 1 Kings 19. Sorry about that. 1 Kings 19, we'll start with verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as thy life of one of them by tomorrow and about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and he left his servants there. But he himself went a day journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. As he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. The number also appears in the prophecies of Ezekiel and Jonah. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 4. Ezekiel chapter 4, starting with verse 4. Lie thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it. According to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear thy iniquity. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days. 390 days, so shalt thou be bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year. Therefore thou shalt set thy face toward the siege of Jerusalem, and thine arm shall be uncovered, and thou shalt prophesy against it. And behold, I will lay bands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn them from one side to another until thou hast ended the days of thy siege. Let's also turn to Ezekiel 29. Ezekiel 29, starting with verse 8. We'll read verse 8 to 12. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring a sword upon thee, and cut off man and beast out of thee. And the land of Egypt shall be desolate and waste. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, because he hath said, the river is mine, and I have made it. Behold, therefore I am against thee, and against thy rivers, and I will make thee, land of Egypt, utter waste and desolate, from the tower of Sin even to the border of Ethiopia. Not foot of man shall pass through it, nor foot of beast shall pass through it, neither shall it be inhabited 40 years. And I will make the land of Egypt desolate in the midst of the countries that are desolate. And in her cities among the cities that are laid waste shall be desolate 40 years. And I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations, and I will disperse them through the countries. Let's turn to Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king of his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in our hand and their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned away from their evil way, and God repented of the evil, and he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Let's turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 17 through 21. And I took the two tablets and cast them out of my two hands and break them before your eyes. And I fell down before the Lord as at the first 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins which ye have sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened unto me at the time also. And the Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him. And I prayed for Aaron also the same time. And I took your sin, the calf which he had made, and burned it with the fire, and stamped it, and ground it very small, even until it was as small as dust. And I cast the dust thereof into the brook that descended out of the mount. Moses interceded on Israel's behalf for 40 days and 40 nights. We're also going to read verse 25. Thus I fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, as I fell down at the first, because the Lord had said he would destroy you. Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. Let's turn to Exodus 24. Exodus 24, starting with verse 15. And Moses went up into the mount, and cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went up into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Moses fled to Midian after he killed the Egyptian. He spent 40 years in the desert tending flock. Let's turn to Exodus. We'll start with Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. And he said, Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me? And thou killest the Egyptian. And Moses feared and said, Surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, and he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Let's also turn to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, starting with verse 20. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And he was cast out. Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in word and in deeds. And when he was 40 years old, came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do you wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong, thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me, as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired, they appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai, angel of the Lord, in a flame of fire in a bush. In the Old Testament, when God destroyed the earth with water, he caused it to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. Let's turn to Genesis 7. Genesis 7, starting with verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, and in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day where all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were open. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the 3 wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah and into the ark, 2 and 2 of all flesh, wherein is as breath of life. And they that went in male and female flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. Exactly as God had indicated, the rain fell for 40 days and 40 nights. God's word to Noah is once again shown to be trustworthy. Let's also turn to Genesis 8, verse 6. Genesis 8, verse 6. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened up the window of the ark which he had made. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 25. There's a law concerning human relations. The law specified a maximum number of lashes a man could receive for a crime, setting the limit at 40. Deuteronomy 25, verses 1 and 3. If there be a controversy between men, and they come into judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. And it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge shall cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face according to his fault by a certain number. 40 stripes he may give him and not exceed, lest if he should exceed and beat him above these with many stripes, then they brothers should seem vile unto thee. The Israelites wandered for 40 years. Let's turn to Deuteronomy, back to Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8, starting with verse 1. And all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed them with manna. Which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. The Israelites wandered for 40 years. And also, let's turn to Joshua. Joshua chapter 5. Verse 6. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, them that had not circumcised. The 40 years in the wilderness was partly a punishment of Israel for her unwillingness to occupy the land at first, but it also was a time for the Lord to humble and prove his people to determine the quality of their character and their commitment to obedience. He also sent spies for 40 days to investigate the land God promised to Israelites as an inheritance. Let's turn to Numbers. Chapter 13. Numbers 13, chapter 13. Starting with verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers, shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Pharaoh, and all those men were heads of the children of Israel. Let's turn to 21 through 25. So they went up, searched the land from the wilderness of Zin into Rehob, as the men came to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, which where Ammon, Shei, and Talmah, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Ishcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon his staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Both Isaac and Esau were 40 years old when they were first married. Let's turn to Genesis 25. Genesis 25, verse 20. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padan-Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. Also, let's turn to chapter 26, verse 34. And Esau was 40 years old when he took wife to Judith, the daughter of Beera, the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite. Let's turn to Genesis 25. David had reigned for 40 years over Israel. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 2. Verses 10 and 11. So David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 30 and 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem. Saul also reigned for 40 years. Let's turn to Acts 13. Acts 13, verse 21. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. Solomon also reigned for 40 years. Let's turn back to 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. Verses 41 and 42. And the rest of the acts of Solomon and all that he did and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the acts of Solomon? And the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. Forty years were allotted between Jesus establishing his temple, his body, and the destruction of the physical temple in Jerusalem. Let's turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Verses 41 through 44. And he said unto them, how say they that Christ is David's son? And David himself saith in the book of the Psalms, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore calleth him Lord. How is he then his son? Jesus prophesied the coming destruction of Jerusalem and the temple by the Romans. He told those who believed in him to flee from the city when they saw the armies gathering, because this was going to lead to a time of terrible slaughter and destruction. Let's turn to Luke 21. Luke 21, starting with verse 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them that which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these by the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be a great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. In these verses, Jesus warned of the coming destruction of Jerusalem and the dispersion of the Jewish people into the lands of the Gentiles. He also gave a reason for it, because you did not know the time of your visitation. In other words, the dispersion happened because Jesus was not recognized as the Messiah. Also, Moses fasted before he received the commandments. Let's turn to Deuteronomy. Chapter 9, verses 9 through 18. Deuteronomy 9, chapter 9, verses 9 through 18. I'm sorry, 9 through 16. When I was gone up into the mount to receive the tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I neither did eat bread nor drink water. And the Lord delivered unto me two tables of stone, written the finger of God. And of them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake with you in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, and in the day of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the two tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant. And the Lord said unto me, Arise, get thee down quickly from hence, for thy people which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten image. Furthermore, the Lord spake unto me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, it is stiff-necked people. It is a stiff-necked people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make of thee a nation mightier and greater than they. So I turned and came down from the mount, and the mount burned with fire, and the two tables of the covenant were in my two hands. And I looked, and behold, ye had sinned against the Lord God, and have made you a molten calf. Ye have turned aside quickly out of the way which the Lord hath commanded you. Moses fasted for 40 days when he went up to the mountain to receive the commandments of God written on stone tablets. This was an unusual, miraculous fast if we take it in face value. Moses says that he did not eat food nor drink water during the 40 days. A human body cannot survive extended periods of time without water. Through God, this was possible. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy 10. Deuteronomy 10, starting with verse 1. We're going to read 1 through 11. And at the time the Lord said unto me, Hew the two tables of stone like unto the first, and come up unto me into the mount, and make thee an ark of wood. And I will write on the tables of the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest, and thou shalt put them in the ark. And I made an ark of shittim wood, and hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and went up into the mount, having the two tables in mine hand. And he wrote on the tables according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which the Lord spake unto you in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, and in the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them unto me. And I turned myself and came down from the mount, and put the tables in the ark which I had made, and there they be as the Lord commanded me. And the children of Israel took their journey from Beeroth of the children of Jachin to Mazari. There Aaron died, and there he was buried, and Eleazar, his son, ministered in the priest's office in his stead. From thence they journeyed into Gogadah, and from Gogadah to Jotabath, a land of rivers of water. At that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord to minister unto him, and to bless him in his name unto this day. Wherefore Levi hath no part nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is in his inheritance, in The Lord is his inheritance according as the Lord thy God promised him. And I stayed in the mount according to the first time, 40 days and 40 nights. And the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also, and the Lord would not destroy thee. And the Lord said unto me, Arise, take thy journey before thy people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. And in closing, today God is still testing the believer, but often this testing seems or feels as a punishment. This testing is not always for reproof or correction, but to see if we still seek God and still praise Him, even in the storms of life. A faith that is not tested cannot be trusted. So if we are presently experiencing a trial or a test, don't grow weary or faint, and do not give up, because God may not necessarily be disciplining you, but may be testing you to see how strong your faith and trust in Him really is. I pray we can all pass the test and remain obedient to God and have our trust in Him remain unshaken. Thank you. We will continue with a singing of hymn 154. "'Tis was on the dark and mournful night when Jews and Gentiles joined their power against the Son of God to fight, to mock His name, His life devour." Hymn 154. The Orlando Ecclesia, a basis of fellowship, is exclusively the amended statement of faith, and we welcome to those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. Let's turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1 through 6. Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and let the sin which doth so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the stake, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Simply put, without Jesus' death on the stake for our sins, no one would have eternal life. Jesus himself said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In this statement, Jesus declares the reason for his birth, his death, and his resurrection. God declared that all who sin will die. This is the fate of all mankind. But God, in his grace and mercy, provided a way out, the shed blood of his perfect Son on the stake. God declared that without shedding of blood, there is no remission, but through the shedding of blood, redemption is provided. The law of Moses provided a way for the people to be considered sinless or right in God's eyes. The offering of animals sacrificed for every sin they committed. These sacrifices were only a temporary and were really a foreshadowing of the perfect once and for all sacrifice of Christ on the stake. This is why Jesus came and why he died, to become the ultimate and final sacrifice, the perfect, without blemish, sacrifice for our sins. Through him is the promise of life eternal. Let's now turn to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians, starting with verse 23. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Can we get Brother Sid to give thanksgiving for the bread?
Merciful, loving, eternal Heavenly Father. We thank Thee for this another opportunity that we have to call upon Thee and to express our appreciation for all the many things that Thou hast done for each of us. We reflect upon the work of our Savior, who, out of love and devotion to Thee, perfectly fulfilled Thy will. We know that it is out of love that You provided Your Son, that You had to be greatly disappointed at the failures of Thy creation. But He was indeed perfect in every respect and set an example for all of us that we should strive to follow. And we pray that, like Him, we may focus upon that joy that is set before us, ultimately a place in Thy glorious kingdom. We long for that day and pray indeed that time is close at hand. We thank Thee for this bread, which we realize is representative of this body, a body of flesh that He willingly subjected to Thee in every respect, even ultimately to death. And we pray that we would strive to demonstrate this same devotion and love for Thee and for Him and for one another. We pray that You would forgive us of our many sins and numerous shortcomings. Keep us ever mindful of the great love wherewith we have been loved. Please continue to extend Thy grace unto us. And once again, we ask that You would save us into that wonderful kingdom that will soon dawn upon this earth. For we pray and give thanks through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen.
We get Brother Daniel to give thanksgiving for the wine.
Dear God, gracious, merciful Heavenly Father, hallowed be Thy name. Lord, come together before Thee. Memory of the sacrifice of Thy Son, the perfect example according to thy will. We see in this cup representation of the life-giving efficacy of his blood poured out on behalf of those who come to thee through him. As it will be strengthened and encouraged in these last days by your grace and mercy, lead us up in that soon coming kingdom to share in the great marriage supper of the Lamb. Pray all this through his name, as our high priest now, our soon to be glorious King, Jesus the Christ.
We'll close today with the singing of hymn 65. Our Heavenly Father, hear the prayer we offer now. Thy name be hallowed far and near. To thee all nations bow. Hymn number 65. And we get Brother Matt to close with a word of prayer.